morning, good morning, good morning. Coming on the rest of that song. It's time to rise and shine. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Y'all know that song? I hope you're doing fine. Get out of bed, you sleepy head. That's all I know. I don't know. That's all. Okay. How many are going? I came to the wrong church today. I came to the wrong church today. How about those Chargers? Okay, here's the poll. Are the Chargers staying in San Diego or are they leaving? How many people say the Chargers are staying in San Diego? Raise your hand. One. Patty. Patty's the only one. Patty, do you know something we don't know? Probably. She's connected. How many people say they're leaving? How many people say I don't care? Wow, there you go. Look at that. More hands on that. Wow. Well, I hope. Wow. Dean Spanos isn't in the room today, is he? Or, yeah, I hope not. He's the owner. Anyway. Welcome. We're going to tackle a subject today that all year long we come back and every message is peppered with this thought today. My assignment to do is to just give you five things about this subject, and it'll all make sense in a minute, that you'll be able to find yourself in one of these areas, maybe where you're doing real good, hopefully so, maybe one or two that you say, hey, I need to kind of amp this up a little bit to allow this this truth to be working in my life. Today, let's talk about this subject that I'm calling faith life. Faith life. Some of you that know this, there's four times in the Old Testament and the New Testament combined, the whole Bible, four times it uses this phrase that the just shall live by faith. It's mentioned four times, and this really speaks of the daily lifestyle of the believer. Here's how we live. Here's how we act. Here's how we think. Here's how we react. Here's how we respond. Here's what we do. We just live by faith. We walk by faith, and Scripture says in the New Testament, we walk by faith and not by sight. Again, we live by faith. Mentioned four times, we walk by faith. So this is our lifestyle. It's not, we don't have to wonder, what do? We walk by faith. We walk it out in daily living. We live this way. So if we're to live this way, if we're to walk this way, then don't you think it'd be beneficial if we understood a lot about faith? Yeah. I think so as well. And so today we're going to give you five quick points, and if perchance you go to sleep or you have to leave a little bit early, let me give you the 5 points real quick just as we start today. We're going to talk about faith that hears, faith that hears. Number two, we're going to talk about faith that says, faith that says. Three, we're going to talk about faith, faith that sees. We'll talk about that, faith that sees. We'll talk about number four, faith that knows, faith that knows. And number five, faith that grows. And some of you are thinking, dear Lord, that's a lot of information for about 40 minutes, but I talk real fast. So we believe your ears are going to get to hear real fast. How many of y'all agree with that today? There's a great scripture in Romans chapter 4. Write down the reference if some of you note takers are doing that today. Romans 4, 20 and 21. The story is about a guy named Abram or Abraham. And if you know the story from Genesis chapter 12 all the way through several chapters in the book of Genesis, it's the story of Abram, and he was 75 and he couldn't have a child. His wife's 65 and couldn't have a child. And yet we find out that God promises him to have a child. And not only a child, but as many as the stars of heaven or the sand on the seashore. And we find out that through the course of years and years, he believed God. And when he was 100, he had the child. And his wife was 90, she had the child. And the Bible calls this guy in Romans chapter 4 the father of faith. He calls him the father of faith. So God gives you and I a person with skin on, not God, not somebody that we haven't seen. But he gives us somebody with skin on to show us how we should live, how we should act. He wasn't a perfect guy, but the Bible sure tells us that he lived by faith. And so we find out the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 4 about this guy called Abram. And he says something really interesting in this one translation. I want to just direct your attention to the screen because it says it really cool. Sets up the stage for where we want to go today. It says this about Abraham. It says his faith did not leave him. And he did not doubt God's promise. His faith filled him with power, and he gave praise to God. He was absolutely sure that God would be able to do what he had promised. verse 20, it's just been going off in me in verse 21 for a couple of weeks now, because it says this about this guy who didn't have a Bible, didn't have a church, didn't have a supporting cast, if you will, didn't have a good faith friend, which is all important, didn't have Christian TV, didn't have a DVD player, had no other kind of resource other than he had an encounter with God, and there were several encounters that God in his graciousness was speaking to this guy. But it says this about him: his faith did not leave him, and then it says his faith filled him with power. So let me just draw the connection and connect the dots with you and me today, is that in 2016, if your faith won't leave you in 2016, your faith will fill you with power. In whatever area you need, power in your body, healing, power in your marriage, power in your future, power to deal with a sin or addiction, whatever you deal with, whatever you and I are going through, because come on, we're all under construction. Anybody beside me? God's still working on? Any true people in the church today? Woo, come on, put your hands in the air like you just don't care. Hey, okay, we're all in the same boat. We're all a work in progress. So here's what it says. If your faith doesn't leave you, your faith will serve you or fill you with power. That's just amazing. And what's amazing about this thing called faith is that your faith can be activated as a young person, as a teenager, and your faith can work for you as a senior citizen. Abraham and Sarah, we would say, are senior citizens. How many know a 100's a little senior citizen? Come on, he's on Medicare. He's drawing Social Security. Come on, everybody. But his faith is working. And then we're going to talk in a moment about a dude named David. His faith is working, and he's 17. Faith is no respecter of age, race, genealogy, economics. Faith will work for whoever works it. And faith, in fact, just kind of a crazy scripture that we all need to get a hold of again. It's in Hebrews 11, 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I got the wrong reference up there. It's verse 6, Hebrews 11, 6. I said verse 1, but that's wrong. It's Hebrews 11, 6. It says, it's impossible to please God without faith. Y'all know, remember that? In verse 6, I got the wrong reference. There we go. Thanks, Al. But without faith, look at the scripture. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's impossible. So a question I asked the first service was this. Could God love us and not be pleased with us? God's love, guys. Listen, if you go off and do the most heinous thing today, which I don't encourage you to do, but you do something crazy. I mean, you do something little. I mean, whatever you do is never going to change God's love for you. He's going to track you down, and he's going to try to bring grace and mercy in your life. That's all he's going to do. He's not going to wrap you around. He's not going to come, you know, cause a shark in the ocean to come out and bite your leg off. That's not what he does. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. But I know this as a parent. I always love my kids, but there have been times in my life I've not been pleased with what they've done. My love hasn't changed. My pleasure's changed because I know they're hurting themselves and hurting me. All right? Here's what it says. Without faith, not without love, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. In fact, it talks about this guy, this same dude, same chapter, chapter 11, talks about a guy named Enoch. It says that Enoch was translated up to heaven, and the Bible says he had this testimony, not that he loved God, but that he pleased God. He pleased God. Pretty interesting. He uses it in verse 6, uses it in verse 5, that when we please God, things start changing in our life, and we can walk by faith and live by faith, and our lifestyle is just about faith. It's not being moved by what we see, not being moved by what we hear, not being moved by outside circumstances, but we understand and can walk in a new kind of realm with God. Y'all ready for that new kind of realm? I am, huh? I want to find out more and more about it. I want to know what God's done for me in his death, burial, and resurrection. I want to know more about the Word of God. I know you do too. That's why we're all here today. So come on, let's talk about these five things. Y'all ready to go? Number one, we said, come on, anybody remember what number one was? Oh, y'all doing that because he put it up there. Come on, man. Al's back there giving you some cheater sheets up there. Faith that hears. Let's talk about it. Romans chapter 10, Romans 10, 17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I know if you've been around here long enough, you've heard that before. We've talked about this on numerous occasions. But every time you hear the Word of God, what's going to come? Come on, shout it out, everybody. This is an open book test. Come on, faith. Faith is going to come. Faith is going to come. When you hear the Word of God, faith is coming. Every time you we preach the Word of God here, every time you listen to the Word of God, you're reading the Word. You read the Word out loud to yourself. Faith is coming. Faith that hears. Your faith needs to keep hearing the Word of God to be activated, to grow. So look on the screen. If you shut your ears to hearing, you shut off your ability to have. So if you just say, I've heard that before, I'm okay, I don't want to, you know, I'm done with that. If you just say no to hearing, then you shut off the ability to have, because faith comes. Faith comes. It doesn't come from having heard. It comes from hearing. And hearing, the word in the Greek is just you've got to keep hearing and 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 hearing by the Word of God. I've been hearing some stuff for the last 30 years. Pastor Cameron and I went to Rhema Bible Training Center in 1983, 1984, and I'm still hearing some of the same stuff. And I'll tell you what, I'm reading some of the same stuff. And as you keep reading it, guess what's going to come? More revelation and more hearing. God's going to, because you're changing, your circumstances are changing, and things around you. Now it's you and your kids and your grandkids and your job and everything is just your ministry, and it just keeps enlarging. So you got to keep hearing the Word of God. Y'all ready for that? Keep hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:14, write it down. Great scripture on how you and I got born again. If you're not born again, here's what it tells us about what's got to happen before you even make Jesus the Lord of your life. Before you enter into a relationship with God, this has got to be part of that scenario. It says, how shall they believe in Him, in God, of whom they have not heard? How can you believe if you haven't heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How are you going to believe something if you hadn't heard it, is what he says. How can you believe in God if you've never heard about God? And how are you going to believe, he tells us this, unless you hear from a preacher, a speaker, a testifier, somebody who's sharing the good news. So listen, it's impossible to believe unless you've heard. That's how faith comes. So I want to believe that there'll be a brighter future for me. And this is where we go. This is where some people go, that you, some of your friends. I'm hoping for something to change. And guess what? Nothing ever changes. Nothing ever changes. The only way it's going to change is if somehow that faith gives substance of things hoped for. Faith gives substance of what I hope. So I hope, I'm expecting, but faith is going to pour concrete in my block that I've got hope for. The formation of hope. I'm hoping. And so I put a 2x4, a 2x4, a 2x4, and a 2x4, and I'm going to pour this concrete here for my sidewalk. The 2x4s are hope. I'm hoping one day for a sidewalk. And so I build, and I hope, and I expect. And faith says, you got your hope going on. Pour the cement in there so you can have a sidewalk. It's going to give me substance of what I'm hoping for. But if I shut my ears from hearing, I'm never going to have what I hope for. Seven times Revelation, in Revelation, the book of Revelation, I believe in chapter 2, 3, and 4. Don't quote me on it, but you can look at it when you go home. Seven churches that John is having a vision with Jesus. And seven churches that Jesus talks to him about in that Asia Minor area, around Turkey, in that area, part of the world. That he talks to him about specific things of the church and what's going on in the community, what's going on in people's lives. But he uses the same phrase. Jesus talks to John, he uses the same phrase, and here's the phrase. He says this, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. If you got an ear, not talking about your physical ear, he says the ear of your heart, you've got to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to your church. If you shut off your ears from hearing, you'll shut off the ability of the Spirit of God from working in your life. The Word of God from working in your life. So we just have to constantly come back to this. This is how we live. This is how we walk. This is how the just live by faith. Part of the equation of my life is I have to say, I have to keep hearing what you say. So I got to open up my Bible. Come on, everybody. I got to come to church whenever I can come to church. You know, on Sundays, last Wednesday, coming up on Wednesday night, I got to get involved in a circle because I'm going to hear some stuff like right now from John Bevere in our circles from Good or God, Good or God book. And if you don't have that book, buy one outside for $10. I got to hear because he's saying some stuff that's going to challenge me because I want my faith level to increase. So faith, look on the screen. Just we say this, just again, this isn't rocket science, just a couple of things for us to consider. Your faith life requires that you hear from, number one, the Word of God. The Word of God. So read the Word of God. Challenge yourself in 2016 to read the Word of God 10 minutes a day, if that's where you need to start, 15 minutes a day. And don't speed read. I'm not really the dude with chapters and try to read the Bible in a year. I've done all that. I'm not against that. If that's where you're at and that's your goal this year, go for it. But maybe what you need to do is just say, I need just to read and I need to figure out what's going on here. Talk to me out of these 15 verses right here. I need to meditate on it, get it in me. If that's you, you know, just figure that out. But your faith life requires you hear the Word of God. Number two, your faith life requires that you hear from the Holy Spirit. Hear from the Holy Spirit? That's kind of crazy. Somebody came up to me recently and said, how do you hear from God? How do you hear from God? Well, number one, you hear from Him from the Word. And then the Bible calls it the still small voice. There'll be a voice inside you. You're led by your spirit. You have a witness of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 and Romans 8:16. On the inside of you, the Holy Spirit lives within your spirit and causes the Word of God to become a real to you. So the more you make the equation, the more you make the, not the equation, the more you make the dots and the connection is what I want to say, between what the Word of God says, you're going to start hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit to specifics in your life. Number three, I really think you need to hear the voice. You need to hear the Word of God. Requires you to hear the Word of God from your pastor. And if you're here in the church, I'm assuming that's me. So you need to come and say, hey, you know, every time I come to church, can I just be honest with you? This is true. I go to special meetings. When I go to meetings, we pray before we go to meetings. And we say, Father, you're going to talk to that man or that woman. And we're just saying, right now, we got ears to hear. So set yourself up before you come to church, because otherwise it might be like bouncing a ball against the wall and just kind of hits it and comes back. Set yourself up to say, hey, I'm coming to church and I plan on doing some hearing up in here today. I'm going to hear what the Word says. And I think that your faith life requires that you hear, number four, from mature believers. Mature believers, people in your life, people in your realm of influence that got your back, got your best interest. They might be able to counsel you. They might be able to, you know, wise counsel their safety. I really believe that you need to hear from people over you, people that are mature in your life. Can you say amen to that? You know, in real hearing, can I tell you, if let's say it this way, because Brittany touched on it a moment ago, that in Mark chapter 5, that story with Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says when she heard of Jesus, Mark chapter 5, she came in the press behind, and the Bible says she kept saying, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well. And so she's got a bloody flow, 12 years, she's messed up, she's needing healing, healing's been distant from her, she spent all she had, all the physicians, no better, grew worse, heard of Jesus. What comes when you hear? Faith! Faith comes! You're telling me he's a healer? I'm going to do something. So she presses through the crowd and she touched the hem of his garment. And wow, amazing. The Bible says she was healed. But the Bible doesn't say Jesus healed her. Jesus said, your faith made you whole. How's your faith going to change you if you don't hear? Can we be true up in here today? It won't. If you say, I'm hearing, you set yourself up for what you're hearing. It's going to start working in your life. Doesn't make a difference if you're white, black, Asian, Hispanic, Latino, you got 3 pesos in your pocket to your name, your faith will work for you. Can I get an amen in the room? So based on that, I figured this out. Real faith will cause movement. Real faith. Real hearing. I hear the Word of God. Faith's an act. So I've heard the Word of God. It's going to cause movement in my life. It caused movement in the woman with the issue of blood. It's going to cause movement in your life. So come on, say it with me. Faith that hears. Number two, we said faith that says. Faith that says. Faith that says. We talk a lot about confession around here. We talk a lot about speaking the Word of God, about talking to your mountains, because that's probably the epitome of the faith scripture, and we'll break it down in just a minute. Mark 11, chapter 23. If you want to know about faith, really, you go to Mark 11, chapter 23, and the whole story is where Jesus curses the fig tree. He goes into the city. He comes out the next day, and Peter remembers that Jesus cursed this fig tree. And Peter says, Jesus, the tree you cursed is dried. It dried up. And Jesus just looks down at Pete and says, have faith in God. I mean, he tells him that, right? And then he starts this discourse about what he did behind the scenes that caused that tree to be dried up from the roots. And so we find the very basic of faith is their faith must move your mouth. You've got to say something. It's the Jesus model. The Jesus model is speaking to circumstances. Jesus called them mountains. But he's not just talking about a mountain. He's not talking about speaking to Mount Miguel out there or whatever. He's talking about speaking, saying something to your circumstance. Jesus comes to a tree expecting to eat fruit on it, and it has no fruit. So Jesus looks at the tree, and he releases faith in words to a tree, an innate object, an object that can't talk back to him, but he speaks to a mountain. He speaks to a tree. He speaks to a circumstance. So guess what you and I should be doing? Speaking to things that don't line up with the Word of God. Can I get an amen in the room this morning? So here's the Scripture. Just look at it again. Mark 11:23. We're going to break it down. Mark 11:23. We'll read it. Then I'll tell you a couple of quotes from Pastor Mark Hankins, who's going to be here another month. And we looked at these at our Bible school. Come on, give a shout out. How many Bible school students we got in the room? Come on, give a shout out. Hey, Bible school students are amazing. We got like 25 of them in school. Wow. So let me just, just kind of throw this out there. You young people, some of you whatever people, a little older people, y'all need to get jumped back in here with us in September, because that'll be second year and you can get enrolled in first year, because it's amazing stuff that's going on right now. Mark 11:23, after Jesus curses a fig tree and he tells Pete, have faith in God, here's what he says in verse 23. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, notice on the screen, we'll come back to this in a minute, but notice these three comments or these three statements from Pastor Mark Hankins, who's our pastor. I just think they're brilliant. Number one, notice what he said. If it were God's will for the mountain to be there, Jesus would not have told you to move it. See, some of you come from theological backgrounds called churches, that if there's a mountain, it's just your lot in life. There's a mountain. Just bad deal. Deal with it. Live your life. Jesus doesn't say that. If it was God's will for the mountain to be there, Jesus wouldn't have told you to move it. Number two, there's no mountain in the sphere of your life that you can't move. If there's a mountain in your life, if there's a mountain in your body, if there's a mountain in your finances, if there's a mountain in your mind, if there's a mountain in your relationship, if there's a mountain in your past, you can do something about it with what you say. Listen to me. We talk plain around here. Listen to me. You are not a victim. Don't play the victim card. Don't play the victim card. Our society wants you to play the victim card. And if you've got friends around you, called friends, they're going to come and cry and wail, and you need to get yourself some new friends. You need to get yourself some. You need one friend like that. Come on. Everybody needs to have a crybaby around you. But you need some other friends that are going to grab you by the back of your collar and say, it's time to quit crying. Get talking to your mountain. Yeah. All right. Number three, if what you have in life is all up to God, God would have never told us this. So if it's all up to just whatever, no, it's not up to God. It's up to me to do something with what he's given me called faith. Faith that says. So let's break this down again in Mark 11:23. Because it's the key. It's a key for living. It's a key how we walk. A key how we live. We live by faith. We walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. The just shall live. Here's my lifestyle. I got to keep hearing the Word of God, and I got to keep saying, speaking the Word of God to my mountain, to my difficulty, to my challenge. Regardless of how it got there, regardless of how long it got there, regardless of why it got there, regardless if I brought it on myself, come on, let's say, you know, I was a heroin addict. I know a pastor who was a heroin addict before he got saved. He's a heroin addict. And so he, later on in life, he's been preaching for years, and then he got hepatitis from all the needles and stuff. And so some people would say, you sowed the seed, you're going to die. Well, what happens to grace and mercy and healing and forgiveness? So guess what he starts doing? He believes the Word of God and starts speaking to his body. And he did some medicine and some stuff like that, but the brother's totally healed and delivered. Come on, God's good. So if you've got some self-inflicted wounds in your life, if like my son say, you know, we say the word around our house, we just kid with each other. We just say like, you big dummy. You big dummy. Why are you thinking that, you big dummy? If you've been a big dummy all your life, you can get the dummy spirit out of you by believing something different. All right? You don't have to be a dummy no more. Faith will change the dummy out of you. All right, so let's break it down. Jesus says this in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. We read it. We don't need to read the scripture again. Assuredly, I say to you. So here's the first part. Assuredly, I say to you. He uses the word say or says in that form four times in the scripture. How many think that might be important? Four times. So he says, assuredly, I say to you. The first word say, says, I say to you, is a Greek word called lego. Right here in Carlsbad, we got a company that's making bazillions of dollars called Legoland. What is a lego? If you got boys, I don't know if they're for girls, but I had two boys and two girls. Hey, what is lego? You get this big box. Jude had one that he hadn't seen, my 21-year-old son, at Christmas. This was his project. He found in the garage this box this big. It was Star Wars Lego we bought when he was like 8. He dug it out, never built it. How many parents know some of the stuff you buy your kids they never use? Jesus. So he gets it out. And at Christmas time, guess what he's doing? He's making a systematic set discourse. He looks at the picture, looks at the instruction. Little blocks connected make the picture. Jesus says, I'm going to give you a Lego. I'm going to tell you how you change your life systematically. So your life looks like that. So you can have peace that looks like that. You can have joy that looks like that. You can have a marriage that looks like that. You can have a body that looks like Pastor Gary. Come on, somebody. Come on up in here. Come on. You can have big legs like Pastor Gary. That's right. Messing with you. Ah! Just keeping it real up in here on Sunday. Just keeping it real. I'm going to give you a set systematic discourse, a Lego. So he says this. Whoever says to his mountain, he tells us first, whoever says to his mountain, that word isn't the same word. It's the word commands. Come on, say that with me, commands. What did Jesus do to that tree? He commanded that tree. He said, nobody's going to eat fruit from you ever again. He's talking to the tree. He's commanding the tree. Command. I'm going to tell you how you systematically set discourse, how you have a building block to change your life in any area. It works for whoever, man, woman, old, young. Black, white, Asian, Hispanic. Makes no difference. Been in Africa. Came across on a boat. Makes no difference. If you hear it and you'll take the building block in itself will work for your life. An old man can build a Lego. A young woman can make a Lego. They can build it. But you got to work the system. So he says, if you'll command. Do you see that? Whoever says to this mountain, whoever commands the mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, here it is, but believes the things that he says will be done. Believes the things that he says will be done. This is a different word, says. This word says is the word speaks out. Speaks out. Didn't say you think about it. Didn't say you agree with it. Didn't say you get somebody else to talk about it. You got to talk to your mountain. You got to talk to your circumstances. You got to talk to your challenges. You got to talk to your deals that you're dealing with. You keep speaking it out. You keep speaking it out. He goes on to say, you will have whatever he says. Here is the same word Jesus started with. You will have the same Lego I had. You'll have a systematic set discourse. So any trouble in your life, any pain in your life, any difficulty, any challenges in your life, you can't just say there's a mountain and, oh, well, it's my lot in life. I can't get an education. I can't go back to school. I've got this addictive personality. I've got ADD. I can't find a job. This runs in my family. I've got this past and I can't get over it. Any mountain can change. Jesus says, I've given you a Lego. And I've shown you a picture. It's called the Word of God. That whatever it says in there, you can have. You can have. You can have it. But you got to command. You got to speak out. And you got to systematically keep doing it. Can I get an amen in the room? So we find Jesus speaking to storms. Jesus speaks to sick bodies. Jesus speaks to demon-possessed people. Jesus even speaks to dead people. If you've got something in your life that looks like it's on life support, so to speak, dead, done, like coming up for the last breath, he says, talk to it. He spoke to a dead girl there, Mark chapter 5. He said, rise up, little girl. He spoke to Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, by the way. And come on, fill in the blank. Come on, you know the rest of it. And behold, he stinketh. Come on, everybody. So maybe you got some stinking stuff in your life. It's like, is somebody going to do something about it? And God's saying, I wish you'd talk to it. I wish you'd talk to it. Talk to it. Faith that hears, faith that says, let's come on, I got to get going here. Faith that sees, faith that sees. Phenomenal story. We talked about Abram a moment ago, but the backdrop for this, we'll look at it in a moment, just this one scripture in Genesis 16, verse 13. The backdrop is that Abram has got a wife named Sarah. Sarah can't have a baby. God's told him what he wants to do. He's going to have a child of promise. You believe me. Mrs. Abraham, Sarah, gets a little bit impatient. And she says, I tell you what, I got this girl that cleans the tent. And she's my handmaid. And so I tell you what, sleep with Hagar. Have a baby. And this was kind of legal in that time. Don't do it now. Do not do this now. It was kind of legal. It was kind of okay. And so she has a handmaid. She has somebody cleaning the tent. And so she said, just Hagar, sleep with Abram, and you're going to have a baby, and you're going to kind of be the surrogate parent, and then we're going to have the child. We have that kind of now, you know. But anyway. So sure enough, you know, Abram and her get together, and then you know, as it always is, she can get pregnant, and Sarah can't get pregnant, so she gets pregnant, and come on, she's showing, come on, she's starting to show, and then here's what happens. All you women, come on, all the guys, we know what's going to happen, maybe you ladies, anyway. And so sure enough, she's showing, and then guess what goes on? Sarah says to Abram, she's looking at me funny. Yeah. And so Abram says, like any good husband, she's not my handmaid, she's yours. Come on, how many know husbands? That's what we do, don't we? Come on. You deal with it, baby. I didn't hire the girl. And so she says, okay, you're out of here. Kicks her out of the tent. And when you're kicked out of the tent, you just don't go to Escondido. You're in the desert. So here she is in the desert, wandering around. And the Bible says something amazing happened while she's in the desert, Hagar wandering around, is that God encounters her in her desert. So can I tell you something today, this morning, beyond everything I'm saying, if this is you, if you find yourself going, I've been jacked up, I've been hurt, I'm a bitter little bit, I've been through some negative circumstances. If you find yourself like Hagar, can I tell you, God's looking for you right now. And He wants to try to help you, and try to bring you up, and try to change your life. So it actually says in chapter 16, you know, lots of great verses through there, but the angel of the Lord, who's really Jesus, a theophany in the Old Testament, encounters Hagar, and she has this amazing dialogue with God, with Jesus in the Old Testament. And here's what she says after the end of it, verse 13. Just want to draw your attention to this. She called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You're the God who sees. For she said, have I also seen him who sees me? There was a well there, and she names this well. If you read that in chapter 16, she names this well, the well of the one who lives and sees me. Amazing. God saw her, but listen to me, she saw God. There's got to be part of our faith that we can see what God wants us to see. The Bible calls this, guys, listen to me, we don't do this too much. I mean, we don't, you know, this word in our culture, but in the Eastern culture, in the Orient, it's like blasé, because they've been doing it for thousands of years. It's called meditation, the power of meditation. And we talk about meditation, for, you know, meditate the word day and night, observe, do according to all that's written, and then you make way prosperous and have good success from Joshua 1:8, which is so true. But listen to me, the power of meditation, that thinking about the Word of God, imagining the Word of God working in your life, seeing the Word of God working in your life, where it paints a different picture, where you actually see something different, where your mind dreams of a different outcome, the relationship that's broken, and you see as you pray, as you believe, as you speak, as you hear the Word of God for reconciliation, and you believe that's God's will, that you actually see a mending together of a relationship. Faith that sees. I really believe with all my heart, this is what Romans 12:2 is all about, that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our minds being renewed allow us to picture a different outcome, to see something changed. A transformed mind. A transformed mind transforms any image into victory. That you can take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, the Bible says. You can bring it under subjection to the Word of God, and you can see, listen to me, actually see a different outcome. See it. See a different outcome. Don't see yourself living in defeat. Don't see yourself living in a bad area where your kids are the drive-bys. Don't see yourself, even if you're living there, see a different outcome. See it. This is part of the lifestyle that you and I have access to. It's how we live. And if we'll meditate the Word, what it says in Proverbs, if we'll attend to the Word, we'll incline our ear to what it says. It goes on to say, do not let them depart from your eyes. I really believe this is a key. Do not let the Word depart from your eyes, because if you keep the Word of God before your eyes, you'll start seeing something different. Don't be moved if you don't see it yet. Keep working the Lego. Keep working the set, systematic set discourse, and allowing the Word of God to paint a different picture in your life. I'll just be honest with you. I told the first service, I'll tell you the same, is that this is an area that I've struggled with more than anything. Not that a faith that hears, really not that a faith that says, and we'll talk about it in a moment, a faith that knows and a faith that grows, but a faith that sees. Seeing, like people talk about vision and all, and I'm, you know, all, and just seeing, I'm like going, wow, I gotta work this. This is a challenge for me to see something. See it. So I believe it, and so I can have it in my own life. See yourself well. See yourself with a new job. See yourself working in ministry. Maybe you say, I can't work in ministry. I could never help anybody. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. See yourself doing it. Get in the Word of God, find out what God says, and God's going to paint a new picture in your soul. Amen. You're doing real good. Listen, let's go two more. Number four, we said a moment ago, there's this faith that knows. Not knows, like, but faith that knows, N-O-W-S. Faith that knows something. Really, we're talking about assurance, equaling confidence. So it's amazing to think that God allows us to have assurance in His Word, bringing confidence in our life concerning what He desires us to enjoy. He wants us to enjoy life to the full. The Bible tells us that in John 10:10. He wants it to be so for our life. But we've got to know something so that we can actually see it, hear it, believe it, and then be able to enjoy it. The Old Testament, there's an amazing story. If you've been in church, you've seen it on flannels and you've seen it on DVDs. And it's a story of David and Goliath. And we can almost read it and get blasé to it. But I tell you what, it is just a phenomenal, phenomenal story on how this 17-year-old guy, who's not an army guy, not a special forces, not a special ops guy, how he goes to a battlefield with a bag of cheese and some bread for his brothers and winds up on the very same day killing the baddest dude in town. Come on, everybody. He shows up, and you know the whole story if you're kind of familiar with it. He shows up, and the king's shocked that he's there. His brothers are mad that he's there, and the king tries to put his own armor on, and then finally says, he talks the king and King Saul, let him go to the battlefield, and off he goes, and all he's got is his little slingshot and, four stones, in his pouch, and he's ready to go whoop the enemy. And Goliath comes out, and, Goliath starts talking to him. Come on, just like the enemy. Come on, the enemy's going to start talking to you. And so David starts talking to the enemy, because faith will always say something to your mountain. Come on, right? Faith will get talking. So listen to me. I wasn't there, but I pictured myself being there. I guarantee you, a 17-year-old kid got a 9-foot dude coming up in front of him with some dude carrying his spear and shield. It is frightening. I know he probably plays some video games, but this is the real deal. And believe me, he was probably shaking a little bit, probably the hair sticking up on the back of his neck, but something's going on in his heart. And Goliath says to him, you coming out to me with sticks and all kind of stuff. And David starts talking. Listen to me, because faith always knows the outcome. And David says, you come out here and you defied the armies of God. You defied my God. And he says, I tell you what's going to happen to here today. He says, I'm going to cut your head off and you're going to die. And the birds of the air and the beasts of the field are going to come eat you, eat your head. They're going to tear you apart and they're going to eat all them dudes back there. And then, he let her go. And the brother ran to Goliath. And he took Goliath's sword out of his own sheath and cut the brother's head off. And like any teenager, you know what he did? The Bible says he took the head back to his tent. Come on, somebody. Sounds like a teenager. Faith knows ahead of time. You can know the outcome even though it doesn't look like it. Why? We walk by faith, not by sight. I know how this is going to turn off. I know how this is going to turn around. God's done it before. It just don't look like nothing's happening right now, but God's working right now. Come on, everybody. Because we believe before we see. You believe before you see. And so there's a great scripture on prayer. I just want to bring it out to you today as we just kind of give you one scripture about this. It's in 1 John 5:14-15. It says this. Now this is the confidence, assurance. This is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked from Him. He didn't say that you have evidence right now, physical evidence, but He says if you ask according to the Word of God, you can know. You have confidence in the Word of God. How many of y'all got confidence in the Word of God this morning? I know you do. I got confidence in the Word of God. So when you pray, the Bible says God hears you. And the minute He hears you, the answer is on the way. The answer's on the way. I don't feel anything. Didn't look like anything's changing. The Bible says with Abram, again, this guy called the father of faith, he was persuaded, Romans chapter 4, verse 21. He was persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. He was persuaded. One translation says he was convinced. He was assured. He was absolutely sure. One translation says Abraham was supremely confident. Supremely confident. He was assured. A faith that knows the outcome before the outcome is over. How's your faith doing there? Or are you kind of going in some stuff? I don't see it, so I don't say anything about it. I quit hearing about it. I quit really, thinking that God's going to do anything with it. So I'm not even dreaming about that anymore. Listen to me. There can be a faith in your life that knows, assurance, confidence. So if you keep getting that's never going to happen, then listen, that's not the end of it. That's not the end of it. Come on, that's not the end of it. Let's believe God. Let's be assured from what the Word of God says that, Father, this is what you said, so I'm going to side in with you, and I'm going to make sure my speaking and the Legos I'm building are going to make the picture I really want. Because can I tell you something about the Word side we didn't say? What you're saying is making a Lego, is making a building block, but do you really want that? I'm never going to have anything. I can never get healed. I always get the flu. I get this pain. So guess what you're doing? You're building a discourse. You're building a picture. You're building a life you really don't want. Come on, let's speak the word only, right? There's a faith that knows, a faith that knows. Lastly, come on, you listen real good. We'll just spend a second here. Lastly, there's a faith that grows, a faith that grows. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that God's given to every man the measure of faith, the measure of faith. So everybody in the room that you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you've got this thing called the measure of faith. Mine was no bigger than yours. Yours was no bigger than mine. Billy Graham's was no bigger than mine or yours. The greatest man or the greatest woman, Mother Teresa's, was no bigger. When she made Jesus the Lord of her life, she got the measure of faith. And whatever she did with it was up to her, not God. So if you're not satisfied with the level you're at, if you want to receive more from God, if you're hungry for more of God in 2016, which I believe you are, it's going to require that your faith grows. Your faith can grow. Like we said last week, you don't have to abandon your life and park in the field of life. You can decide, I want to make some changes in my life. I want my mind to change. I want this addiction to leave me. I want my relationships to be restored. I want more peace in my life. I just want to be like you read Galatians chapter 5 about the 9 fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faith, self-control. You just say, I want to be one of those kind of people. I need some more kindness in my life. I've been mean. I've been grumpy. I've been snarly. I've been bitter. I've been negative. So I'm going to have to find stuff from the Word of God that deals with that, and I'm going to have to believe it. I'm going to have to hear it. I'm going to have to say it. I'm going to have to see it. I'm going to have to know it so my faith in that area can grow. God is not withholding it from me. I want it to grow, so I get working the field. It says this in Romans 1:17 about this guy called Abram, after about what he did in his life and about what we can do in our life. It says, for in the word of God, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. I like that phrase, from faith to faith. As it's written, the just shall live by faith. Again, this is how we live. This is how we work. This is how we operate, from faith to faith. But it says, it's to something, from faith to something. And getting me from this level to that level is going to require me to keep acting on the Word of God. I got to act on the Word of God. I don't need to be stuck. I don't need to be stagnant. I can't be derelict. I can't shut my ears off. I can't stop hanging around positive people in church and where I need to grow. I got to keep pushing the limits, and I got to keep going when I'm hurt. I got to play hurt. Yesterday I was in Palm Springs doing a century ride and 100 miles, and mile 55 I started cramping up bad so much I had to stop 4 times, but I refused to quit. Man, I was like like dun-dun, close to like somebody picked me up. I'm cramping. I mean, on the side of the road, off my bike, just rah. Yeah, I'm serious. And just like, you know, I got to figure that all out with liquids and all that kind of stuff and what I'm doing wrong, because I'm doing something wrong. I'm doing something wrong. So I got to have a faith that grows in that area naturally. But how many of us have gone through life and something just kind of, and we stop. We stop. I'm encouraging you. Don't do it. Don't do it. You know, Jesus said several things about our faith. We're winding down right here. Come on up here, Carlos. Jesus said, talked about guys in the Bible. He said they had no faith. No faith. I pray that's not you today. I don't believe that's you. No faith. He just looked at them. You guys have no faith. No faith. He looked at some other people and said, you have little faith. Or another translation says, short-bursted faith. Psh, like a cheetah, right? 60 miles an hour, 8 seconds. That's all you got. And then he looked at other people and he said, you have great faith. Great faith. Was it them? Were they special? Were they just God's chosen? You know, you have great faith. What? No. It's because they're working the system. They're doing what God's called them to do. Jesus actually asked his disciples something alarming. He looked at them one time and he said, where's your faith? Anybody beside me, your faith went missing? I had faith here last week. What happened? Right? Where's your faith? It's so important that you don't lose your connection and lose your faith. Jesus was telling a parable in Luke 17. Don't turn there. Just listen to me. In Luke 17. And he's talking about offense and forgiveness and stuff. And Peter, hearing this message, wow, he was alarmed. After he heard this message, he tells Jesus, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Now, if Jesus could increase anybody's faith, he probably would have done it right there. He would have probably said, yo, Peter, come here. Let me lay hands on you. Let me pray for you in Jesus' name. Faith increase. He didn't do it. He didn't do it because he can't do it. Because your faith increasing doesn't come on a Jesus thing to you. It comes on a you thing to him. It's directed from you up. Directed from you to the Word. So for your faith to grow, it's really interesting what Jesus then said to him on the heels of that. Because I'll close right here because you listened real good. I think it's very important. Increase my faith. Jesus then said to him, if anybody would say to this tree, say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up, be planted in the sea, it would obey you. It would obey you. So let's tie right back into where we were earlier. If you want your faith to increase in 2016, you're going to have to hear something different. Hear the Word of God. Keep hearing the Word of God. But listen to me. You are going to have to start saying something different. If you want your faith to increase, Jesus said, your words must change. Pete, you're going to have to confess the Word of God. You have to speak to the mountain. You're going to have to speak to a fence in your life and deal with it, because it can be a root. It can be a root. But that root can change, because Jesus told us that and showed us that in Mark 11. The tree didn't just fall over that he spoke to. The tree dried up from the root. Are there root things in your life that keep showing up? Come on, like me. I got some stuff in my life where I think that I'm doing good. I think I'm doing okay, you know, relationally or something. Or maybe it's me and Kimberly. And then I kind of go, doggone it, man. I slipped back into an old lifestyle. I slipped back and I said that again. I'm like going, dear Lord, that wasn't kind. That wasn't very patient. And I'm going, man, I got to do some work. So I got to go back to the Word. I got to hear some stuff. I got to believe some stuff. I got to say some stuff so that my life, I got to know some stuff. I got to grow in some areas in 2016 so my life can change. How about you? Come on, how about you? Want to change in 2016? I believe you do. I believe you do. Come on, stand up real quick. Bow your head there real quick. What area is that? Come on up here, prayer partners. Come on, what area is that? How's you hearing? How's you hearing? Have you shut off your ears from hearing? Come on, maybe you say, I just need to hear the Word of God a little bit more. I need to read. I need to open up my ears to God. I need to spend some time hearing what He's saying. How about your saying? Are you saying, speaking to your mountain? Have you been speaking to your mountain? Or have you been talking about your mountain to your friends? Talking about how tough it is, how difficult it is, how challenging it is. How you're never going to get healed. How you can't, gosh, you just can't believe that. How about you find what God says and then you start changing. How's your seeing this year so far? I told you, challenge for me. So what I told you, I'm going to do more right now this year. I'm going to start meditating some more, getting the Word out in certain areas and seeing it. How's your sight, spiritually speaking, for that thing, that mountain in front of you? That mountain. A faith that knows. Assurance, confidence. Are you wobbling a little bit, you know, for the last weeks or several months or last year, maybe longer? God, you know, He won't do anything for me. Or I pray, nothing ever happens. And well, come on, let's get assured. Let's get assured. You're a child of God if you made Jesus the Lord of your life. And if not, we'll pray for you in a moment. And the same thing that'll happen for anybody that's been around for decades will happen for you. God's no respecter. How's your growth going? How's your faith? How's your faith? Little faith? No faith? Great faith? Where's your faith? Do you know? Areas of your life? Do you know where you need to kind of shore it up? God's going to help you. That's what He's here for. The Holy Spirit's going to help you. Holy Spirit's God here on the earth, in your life, in your heart, to draw you back to the Word, draw you to the Heavenly Father. It's going to make the way smooth for you. Or take rocks out of the way. Make crooked places straight. Make a highway for you. You take the first step, though. Faith is an act. Faith is a step. Faith is a step. Oh, I'm going to make some action points for me today, this year, this week. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to be the guy that joins the gym in January and quits in February. No. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep speaking. I'm going to keep knowing and growing. Keep moving forward. Father, we pray that today in Jesus' name. No person left behind. A church full of people moving forward and growing in their faith, knowing who You are and assured and confident in what You've called them to do. Father, if the Word will work for anyone, it'll work for them. Young or old, everyone in between, regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of where we find ourselves right now, if we have faith small as a mustard seed, we'd be able to say something to our mountain. And I know every person in here has that kind of faith. In Jesus' name, come on, say amen, 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 amen. Listen to me today. If you don't know Jesus, if you're away from Jesus, everything we've said draws itself right back to the life source, who is Jesus.